I have an announcement to make to all of you. We had a session meeting yesterday, and as you all know, when I came, I've been here almost 9 months now. I think 9 months, maybe more than that. And we're going to be talking about the temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4, as we just read. And Jesus had victory over temptation, as we read. But, you know, we might be thinking, I know I think, well, Jesus was God, so why wouldn't he have victory over temptation? And how powerful was his temptation if he was God? You know, then, you know, it must have been easy for him, right? At least that's the way I think. You know, it's like, well, I'm not Jesus. You know, Jesus, of course he had victory. He was God himself, right? But his temptations were very, very real. And what I said in Sunday school this morning, we have, you understand that we have but one nature. And our nature is sinful. That's the only nature we have, is a sinful nature. And that's why we need to strive to walk and live a godly life, because if we don't, we're going to do what comes natural for us to do, and that's to sin. And we're often tempted. In fact, we probably run into temptations each and every day. And Jesus was led out into the wilderness, it says, and he was hungry because he possessed not a sinful nature, but he possessed 100% man nature as well as 100% God nature. The only person on the face of the earth that had two natures was he. And in his humanness, think about it. He was taken out into the wilderness and fasted. And so he was hungry. Wouldn't you be hungry? Yeah. And so his temptations were of three different things here. Satan appeals to the power that Jesus, you know, had. And okay, if you are who you say you are, and what greater common thing did Satan use than food, right? None of us have problem with food, do we? I love my sweets. By the way, I need to get some ice cream this next week, you know. And so Jesus was tempted by the very, and this is how Satan works in our lives. He takes very common things, everyday kinds of things, and tempts us in ways that, are very difficult to resist temptation or to run from, such as food. And so he's doing this with Jesus, and he says, if you are who you say you are, then turn these stones. And now keep in mind, Jesus got to be starving, right? Turn these stones into bread. Now, if I were Jesus, which I'm not, and you all can say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, okay. But if I were Jesus, man, I'm hungry. And when Satan says, hey, turn these stones into bread, hey, wow. You know, that's a pretty serious temptation. And Jesus had the power to do that. And Satan knew that. Okay? But what did Jesus do? Right? He quoted scripture. Man shall not live by what?
Bread alone.
Right? And we're going to talk about the importance of scripture here in a moment. And then the second temptation involved control. Right? If you are who you say you are. Right? What was the second temptation? Were you listening?
Jump.
What's that?
Jump.
Jump. Okay? What'd you say, Kathy?
Throw yourself down.
Yeah, throw yourself down, right? Now, we don't know anything about control, do we? You know, some people have referred to me as a control freak, and please refrain from saying amen. Yeah, in many ways, I plead guilty. But you know what? We're all control freaks. It's just a matter of degree, right? We all struggle with control. We all want our lives to be what we want them to be. Amen. And when things don't go the way that we want them to go, then we're going to what? Take control, pick up our marbles, and go home, right? Control is big, big, huge. And it was for Jesus, too. And again, if I were Jesus, hey, yeah, I got all kinds of control here. Right? But keep in mind, Satan was tempting him. See? Then the third. Now, what was the third temptation?
I will give you all these kingdoms.
Yeah. I will give you all of these kingdoms. And who's the ruler of this world?
Satan.
Yeah.
Amen.
Satan took everything he had in his arsenal and said to Jesus, look at this. Look around. Look at all this. All this can be yours. I'm going to give it to you. And Jesus had all authority to take it away from Satan. Right? But keep in mind, he was tempted by Satan. See? Jesus has nothing to do with Satan. Jesus is ruler of heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. He has all authority, all power, all control. But he was still tempted. In his humanity, he was still tempted. And those temptations were very real. Now, yeah.
He knew he was defeated, but he still did it because that's what Satan does.
That's right. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13, how many of you have this verse memorized? Anybody? No, really? You need to memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's one of the most powerful verses that we can have in our arsenal when temptation comes along. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm old. And what kind of temptations do I have being old? Right?
Ice cream.
You too, Bonnie?
No,
you're talking to me. Oh, okay. Yeah. I confess, you know, I love ice cream. But the doctor told me it doesn't love you. Thanks a lot, you know. But yeah. No temptation. And I love the Bible and the promises that it gives us. Because here's one of the... No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And, you know, food, right? Takes common things. And, you know, this is a problem that I have here. Right, it gives me health concerns, right? And all of you men are smiling because we all have this probably, at our age, right? Food, though, right, can be detrimental to us. We need to say no, you know. And I haven't had ice cream, Bonnie. In when's the last time I had ice cream? Yeah, been weeks. See. So we can resist the temptation, right? We have the power. And this is what's great. Last week we were talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells with inside of you. If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, right? The Holy Spirit indwells you. You have the power to say no, right? We can say no. And we can resist temptation. And the Bible says in James that we can run from temptation, and that's what we're supposed to do, is run from temptation. And you know what happens to many of us when it comes to temptation? We flirt with it. We flirt with it because we think, I'm stronger than the temptation. I can dabble in this over here a little bit without sinning. And that's how. But the Bible says no. It doesn't say flirt with temptation. It says run from temptation. Why? Because temptation leads us to sin. And if we're dealing at a level as temptation, right? Temptation itself is not a sin. Amen. It's how we deal with the temptation that may very well lead us to sin. Now, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was taken out into the wilderness. And when I think about our wilderness, you know, what is our wilderness? Well, it was a little bit different than Jesus' wilderness. But I don't know about you, but the internet is my wilderness. You know, technology, you know, your wilderness, Bruce. You know, Bruce and I, he's learning, though, in the, amid the wilderness, and so am I. But, you know, there's so much junk out there. So much junk out there that comes our way each and every day in one way or another. And there's more and more of it all the time. So much so that even the government, you heard this recently probably, the government wants to do away with TikTok altogether. To which I say, bring it on. Hallelujah, get rid of it. It's junk, it's evil. Right? And so, again, we're faced with the same thing. We have the power to say no. Do we have self-control? Not a trick question. Do we have self-control?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, people. So, Julie, you're shaking your head. No. We have self-control. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that the Holy Spirit dwells, and the fruits of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So you have it. And I have it. Right? And I also think about politics. You know, God gives us authority, doesn't he? And in creation, all the way back in Genesis, God created and he said to man, Adam, and you have dominion over all. Right? We have authority as well. And we have many in authority over us. And you know, what happens when temptation leads to sin? The power. What happens when temptation leads to sin with control? What happens when temptation leads to sin when we have authority? And I'm tempted to say something about what happened this past week, but I won't do that. But this whole authority thing, right, in politics, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. They should be serving us, right, as our leaders. But instead, it's all about power, control, and authority. Who has authority?
They serve themselves.
Yeah. That's who they serve. Unfortunately. Right, but that's what happens. That's what happens when we lead, or when we give in to temptation, I should say. Right? Now, here's the good news: that we're all tempted by common things, but he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability.
As long as you're connected with Jesus Christ, have that relationship.
Well, that's the only way, Caesar.
If you don't have the relationship, you're going to be tempted. Jesus said in the Bible, he'll let you go your own way.
Yep. But here, right? He's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. Think about that. So if you and I, we give in to temptation, it's our own fault.
Amen.
And when it's our own fault, and when we fall into sin, we need to take responsibility for it. I don't hear too many amens, right? But we need to take responsibility for our sin. And when we take responsibility for our sin, then we can repent of it. Yeah, I messed up. I really blew it. And here's the great news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He died for that sin. And I can go to him and I can say, forgive me for that. Right? And I can turn from that so that it no longer has control over me. Right? Power over me. Authority over me. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of what?
Escape.
I think about some of the pretty serious sin that I've committed in my life. And there was an escape. I didn't take it. I thought I was stronger than that, right? There's always a way out. There's always an escape. Sin does not have to rule you. Sin does not have to rule me. Sin does not have to rule this world. There's a way out. And the way out is found in Christ himself, that you may be able to endure it. Boy, sometimes, you know, I remember when I was going through some of the darkest times of my life. Probably the most darkest times, and maybe there's more coming, I don't know. But I remember crying out to God, and my dissertation was on using the lament psalms in counseling, and I knew I could do this because I knew the laments very well. The laments are part of the psalms and lamentations and so forth. And when I was in the midst of the darkness, you know, I felt so alone, so abandoned by God. And some of you know what I mean. Have you ever been so lonely that it hurts?
Amen.
Right? And you just yearn for connection. And God seems so far away. And in illness, right? Many, many times we feel so all alone. Where are you, God? Why are you not healing me? And we begin to ask these why questions. And we feel so alone. And I cried out to God and I said, you know what, God? You can go to hell. You can take your sovereignty and you can go to hell. And yeah, I said that. And I meant it. But you know, that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. Because once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, our salvation is secure. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to abandon us. It might feel that way. And when I said that, and God, you know, a lot of times, oh, we can't say that. We can't feel that. We can't think that. Oh, really? Well, we do. Come on, fess up. And you know what? God knows your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what you're feeling. You're going to fake it? Or are you going to be real? And when I did that, boy, that was the beginning of a recovery for me. God didn't stomp me like an ant, right? And he's not going to stomp you like an ant. And when we deal with our temptations, I can endure it. I can endure it. And part of enduring is lamenting. Lamenting, crying, crying out to God in your pain, in your loneliness, in whatever's going on, cry out to God. We can endure, and that's how we endure. If it's through truth, not through faking it. It's through truth. Right? Now, how do we overcome temptation? Because we can. And we need to memorize Scripture. And even as an old guy, I can still memorize Scripture. You can memorize Scripture too. And what did Jesus combat temptation with? Quoting Scripture. He quoted Scripture. And Scripture is one of the most powerful things that we can do to resist temptation.
Don't argue with the devil. You always lose.
Yep.
Don't argue with the devil.
And the best way is by remembering Scripture. Memorizing Scripture and quoting Scripture. And you know, when I'm really tempted, you know what I do? I say something similar to what Jesus said. And that is, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? Because I know where this is coming from. And you know, we can't control the thoughts that come into our head. And the thoughts that come into our head are pretty nasty. They can be really, really nasty. Come on, admit it. Right? They can be nasty. And we know where those thoughts come from. They come straight from the pit of hell. And we can say, you know what? Get thee behind me, Satan. And because we're dwelled with the Holy Spirit, we have the power. And to say, get thee behind me, Satan. No, no, no.
And he will.
And at this time of Lent, we need to be reflecting upon what goes on in our hearts, what goes on in our minds. Because what goes on in our hearts and minds, it's going to come out if we're not dealing with it. Okay? And that's what Lent is all about. Self-introspection. Examining ourselves. Okay? Remember that temptations are also tests. You know, there's a Greek word, it's called parazo, I believe. And it means temptation, but also means test. And many times, temptations are tests, you know, that God brings our way to what?
Strengthen us.
Yeah. You would think, you know, the temptations and tests, so forth, it's going to undermine. No, but it does the exact opposite. When we say no, when we run from temptation, okay? There's always a way to run away. I like that. There's always a way to run away. Okay? Get thee behind me, Satan, as I already said. Boy, that really helps me a lot. Ask questions to yourself. Right? Is this from God? In Sunday school, we were talking about this morning, you know, walking and living, you know, a victorious life. And we talked about how do we do that? You know, and Paul talks about in Romans 12, the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? Each and every day, we need to pause. And Joe was saying he does that in the morning, and I do too. And maybe that morning's the best. But even if you don't do it in the morning, do it while you're driving, whatever. But train your mind. Lord, whatever I do today, whatever it is, if I'm out digging in my garden, or whatever it is, might I bring glory to you.
Amen.
Right?
Surrender prayer.
Yeah. And is this from God? Whatever it might be. You know, what comes out of our mouths? Right? Could you hear Jesus saying some of the things that come out of your mouth? Can you see Jesus doing that? Right? Is this from God? If it's not from God, then get rid of it, right? Don't yield to the temptation. You know, and one of the things I learned being a counselor is that angry people curse. They really do. People that don't curse, they deal with anger a whole lot better. When people start cursing, next thing that happens, a lot of times they throw things and all kinds of things, right? What comes out of our mouth? right? And oh, we're too old. We don't have to worry about what comes out of our mouth, do we? Really? I think the older we get, the more careless we become. And we're freer with our mouth than we ordinarily would have been. All temptation involves some form of lust. One of the things that we're discussing in Sunday school is sex. And it's been said, well, we're too old for that now, right? We're beyond that now. Well, lust means more than just sex. Lust is an insatiable desire for something, whatever it might be. And all temptations involve some sort of intense desire. I want that. I'm going to get that somehow, right? And we may not be saying that, you know, but through our mouths, but that's what our minds are saying. And Jesus was tempted in the same thing, same way. Lust of the eyes. Look at Jesus. I'm going to give all of you, give this to all of you. Oh, I'm the ruler of this world. It's mine to give. It's all yours if you just bow down and worship me. The lust of the eyes. And boy, how many of us, right, we see something and we want it. And we're going to get it. Lust of the eyes. And whatever lust is involved, guess what? You're going to be right smack dab in the middle of a lot of sin. No two ways about it. Lust of the flesh. What does that mean, lust of the flesh?
Now, caring for yourself too greatly.
Yeah. It's another word for worldly, right? That we become very much like the world. Well, you know, and unfortunately, we're so desensitized to this today, I think, through our politics. We hear this word politically correct. You know, the football teams had to change their names, a lot of them. You know, not politically correct, right? And, you know, there's just all kinds of this nonsense going on, right? That has to do with, well, we need to compromise or we need to be tolerant on all of this. Well, you know, there are 10 non-negotiables, actually. You know what I'm talking about, right? 10 commandments. Right? There's no compromise on that. Those are commandments, people. Commandments. And yet, well, you know, be careful what you say about people living with one another. Everybody does it anymore, so what's the big deal? Really? Really? Well, one of the Ten Commandments says the exact opposite of that. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the pride of life. None of us struggle with pride, do we? We all are egocentric. And you know why we're all egocentric? Because we have but one nature, and that's a sinful nature. You know, a little baby born. Do you have to teach that baby to be selfish? No, they're born that way, aren't they?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your little grandbaby, right? When he's hungry, guess what? You better feed me, right? And when I need a diaper change, you better change my diaper, or I'm gonna right. Egocentric, right from day one. See? And it has everything to do with us, right? And we get so cocky, so arrogant. How dare you take this away from me? How dare you challenge me? How dare you, whatever it might be, right? That leads to sin in a very real sense. Now, here's the good news. Jesus is greater than any person, place, or thing. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, you're awful quiet this morning, right? Since therefore the children, meaning us, share in flesh and blood, he himself, what's it say? Likewise. Eh? He knows. He knows what it's like. He knows the struggle that we have with temptation. Likewise, he partook of the same things, the same temptations that we have. He knows what it's all about. That through death, he might destroy the one who has power of death. Who has the power of death? Yeah, Satan. And you know what? There's going to come a day. And I'm there, bring it on, bring it on. Well, I'd like to see it. Because it's going to happen. It may not happen in my lifetime. I may not see it in my lifetime, but it's going to happen. Where Satan is going to be destroyed. Right? And that is the devil, you know? And one of the things that I'm drawn to when I do a funeral is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says that, you know, we don't have to worry and fear death. Because Jesus, and we're going to be celebrating Easter here in a couple weeks, Jesus has power over death. We serve a living Savior, and as Jesus lives, we will live with him for an eternity. Death gives way, and it says this,
starts to life.
Gives way to life.
Amen.
And you know, we even had great examples of that this time of year. The flowers, right? They all look pretty dead. And look outside right now. Everything's brown, right? But we know, and some of us are getting ready for the gardens, right? And we know, right, that death gives way to life. And, you know, so we have nothing to fear. And Jesus gives us the power over death, if we know him as our Lord and Savior. So here's the challenge this morning. What are you going to do in the midst of temptation? Are we going to flirt with it? Are we going to see how close we can get to it without, you know, sinning?
You'll get burned.
Yeah, yeah. Burned. And how do you know that? How do I know that, right? Because if you flirt with it, guess what? You're going to give into it, right? And so, again, don't flirt with it. Run from it. Run as far away as you possibly can. See? And that's what will serve us in terms of living a life that Jesus would live and would have us to live. So let's pray and ask God to give us all that he has for us to resist and to run from temptation, because we can. Father, we pray that in this season of Lent, to reflect upon your life and how you lived a victorious life, and how we can follow as your disciples and live a victorious life. that we can go about our daily tasks when we renew our minds and reflect upon whatever we do, that we do to the glory of God. That doesn't give temptation a wedge if we constantly are renewing our minds. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do that even as we leave here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.